Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show, lots of good people involved. And the host of the program is its founder and guiding light, Carol Marks. Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she is indeed a champion in the battle against ageism. Let's kick the program off with Carol Marks in conversation with Moses Gates. Moses Gates is an urban planner, a licensed New York City tour guide, and visiting assistant professor of demography at the Pratt Institute. He'll talk about his new book titled Hidden Cities, Travels to the Secret Corners of the World's Great Metropolises, a memoir of urban exploration, published by Tarcher Penguin.
What is urban exploring and what got you interested in it?
Well, it's really the urban part. So cities are interesting to me just on a kind of a personal and professional level, and I want to see what they are, and sometimes you have to go maybe a little further beyond what other people do to kind of satisfy your curiosity, you know, whether that's opening up a manhole in the ground or, you know, going through a hole in the wall or what have you. And that's really it. Everybody has those interests. Everybody has those things they are curious about and want to see, and it's different for everybody, and that just happened to be mine.
And I think curiosity is a wonderful trait. It makes life so interesting. And I was amazed to learn that under Grand Central Station, there's a secret train station that was built for just one customer. So can you tell us about it?
Okay, so Grand Central Terminal, us New York City tour guides get very picky at its Grand Central Terminal. Grand Central Station is the post office around the corner.
Sorry about that.
Is our line. So what happens is when it was built, underneath the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, which is about six or seven blocks north of Grand Central Terminal, you can reverse the train and park it at a private subway platform that's right underneath the hotel, and it was built at the hotel's discretion. And from there, you can take this huge elevator. It's big enough to put a limousine in, and it'll bring you up right next to the entrance of the Waldorf Astoria Hotel on the street. So the story goes that Franklin Roosevelt, because he was in a wheelchair from having polio, didn't want to travel those six blocks from the hotel where he had the presidential suite down to Grand Central Terminal because he didn't want people to see him in his wheelchair. So instead, he took his special car, put it in the elevator, put it onto a train, and took that train up to his house in Hyde Park, New York, which was right off of the train line that came out of Grand Central Terminal. It's really cool. It's not that hard to get down to. Sometimes they'll do behind-the-scene tours of it, and you really just open up the stairway and go down a little bit, and it's right there.
Now, I understand that from reading your book that the New York City subway has 842 miles of track, but there's a kind of go system of stops that were never built or abandoned. So what were the reasons that some of them were never put into service?
So New York is a very interesting city in that it develops with foresight. Most cities of the world, you know, people go about, they do their thing, and the city kind of develops as a reaction to it. It's like, oh, people are living here, we better build some roads for them. Or, oh, people decided that this is the new place to be, we better build some sewer lines. New York isn't like that. New York actually planned out 142 streets beyond where anybody lived at the time. In 1811, the furthest street north was 14th Street, and the city laid out the street grid all the way up to 155th. Central Park. We planned Central Park before anybody even lived anywhere close to Central Park. We reserved that for parkland. And the subway system wasn't built to where people were living at the time. It was built to where we thought people were going to live. It was a development project. We built a train line up into the Upper West Side. Nobody lived there. We built it with the understanding that development would follow. And a lot of times that worked out really well, and then there's sometimes where it didn't work out well. In addition to that foresight that panned out, we have a lot of foresight that just kind of sputtered out. We were going to build two entirely new subway lines and a bunch of other little branches, and we kind of started a lot of them in the 1920s and 30s, and the Depression hit, we didn't get financing, it just kind of never worked out. So And that's only one example. So there's all sorts of places in the subway where we said, wait a minute, maybe we'll build a line here someday. Let's prepare for it. Let's dig the first part. Let's make sure we can do it easier. And then we kind of never did. And those are littered all throughout the New York City subway system. And as a result, there's just all sorts of little secret nooks and crannies down there.
Now, one of the things that I know that you like to do and have done is climb suspension bridges, and you've climbed a number of them around the world, including New York. What do you find so interesting about climbing them, and how dangerous is it? Because it looks really scary to me.
Well, I mean, I want to stress that, you know, danger is always a personal decision. What one person decides is dangerous to one person isn't to another person. I'm a rock climber just as kind of a hobby, and I have gone places and see some people do things that give me an absolute heart attack that I would be completely terrified to do, but I don't worry about them because I know their skill set and level is much higher than mine, and it's not really dangerous to them. So, you know, I don't want to say something is dangerous or not, because it's always a personal thing. I would say, you know your limits and know what you can do, and maybe push them a little bit, but not too much. So I love being on top of any and all bridges around the world. My favorite one is actually in Scotland. It's this giant, beastly steel web called the Firth of Forth Bridge. But it's really interesting because you have two separate views. You have that view of like an observation deck where you're high over the city. And then you also have a different view, which is that you're separated from the city horizontally, like if you're going on a harbor cruise or something like that. And you have both of those at once, and it's really, really a neat view. So I'd say that's and plus it's just cool. I mean, you know, who doesn't like bridges?
And you're up there, and you have this view, and you're basically alone, so it must be quite an experience. Now, you visited a lot of places outside the United States, and the first one you went to was Paris, and you went down to the catacombs, and they're so interesting. So can you tell us a little bit about them, and how did they get to be so big? Because I guess there are 200 miles of them. Wow.
Yeah, about 200 miles. So one of the things about a city is that there's all sorts of development, you know, that happens, and you never really think about how it happens. So in Paris, you know, you have the Notre Dame, you have the Louvre, you have all of these beautiful buildings. Well, all the material for that had to come from somewhere. And where it came from was quarries on what was then the outskirts of Paris. Paris was much smaller than it used to be. So what happens is it grows over those old limestone quarries that are under the 14th, 13th arrondissement in what used to be the outskirts of the city and now are kind of the central city. So this is the 1700s, and what happens is people start to develop and their buildings fall in like an old limestone quarry underneath the city. So during the reign of King, like this is a long time ago, this is during the reign of, I believe it's King Louis the 16th, maybe the 14th, they have a government organization called the Inspection Générale Quartiers that tunnel underneath the city to find and stabilize all these old limestone quarries. And the result is this giant web underneath the city of tunnels, and that's kind of what the catacombs are. Some of it was used to store all of the dead bodies that were happening in Paris in the 1700s, 1800s, but most of it is just old quarries that anybody can go to and anybody can use if, you know, you kind of know the right manhole to open. You can also take an 8-euro tour of where the bones are. That's about a mile long. That's a small part of the catacombs. And definitely you do that and do the sewer tour if you're in Paris.
Now, I found this mind-boggling. There are incredible works of art and sculpture in the catacombs. And, gosh, those artists must have had to face some challenges in order to paint their stone surfaces. So what do they have to do? Because it's unbelievable.
It is, and so artists are people who I don't really always understand. Because they do these really crazy things, just because they happen to have that artistic vision. One of those things is schlepping their materials for miles in an abandoned rock quarry to paint with no natural light and 99% humidity on a rough limestone wall. And, you know, what they create is, in my opinion at least, worthy of being in the Louvre. It's these beautiful, beautiful works of art. And they also do a lot of sculptures down there because the limestone is pretty easy to manipulate.
Now, you actually slept in a room in the catacombs.
Oh, it's the best sleep.
So what was that like, and what did you wish you had brought with you?
So there are two ways to sleep in the catacombs, and they are two vastly different experiences. If you try to sleep on the floor, like I did the first time, just rolled up in a sleeping bag, it is the most miserable thing in the world. It feels like the stone is like, it feels like it's a Dementor from Harry Potter just like sucking the life out of you. It's awful. So I just shivered all night. I ended up okay. The next time I went, I camped out down there, and I brought a hammock. And if you're off the stone, if you're just in the hammock, it's a little chilly, but, you know, nothing awful. And, you know, it's almost like sleeping in a sensory deprivation chamber. There's no natural light and no sound, so it's just, bang, out like a light.
Wow. You know, quite an experience. Now, what do you hope your readers will take away from reading Hidden Cities? I know I, for one, because I love and I'm very curious, my sense of curiosity was increased, and I think that's a great thing.
That's totally the point. Really, it's not. A lot of people say, well, you know, where will I be able to go? What will I find? And the point is not, you know, to point anybody to any one particular place. The point is, like you said, to get people curious and to encourage them to kind of follow their curiosity. We all have things that we're curious about and scared about at the same time. And it's not always going in a hole in the ground for most people. In fact, I don't think that's what it is for most people. But I would just say, you know, a lot of times we let our fear kind of trump our curiosity, and, you know, sometimes you should let your curiosity trump your fear and push your comfort zone a little bit.
Moses Gates, in conversation with Carol Marks, the book is Hidden Cities, Travels to the Secret Corners of the World's Great Metropolises. Go to mosesgates.com for more information. Carol Marks conducted that interview. A Touch of Grey continues in a moment.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here now is our senior correspondent Steve Wiseman in conversation with Dr. Neil Barnard, one of America's most respected nutrition authorities. He's written a new book titled Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory, published by Grand Central Life and Style, Hatchett.
You know, diet certainly is important, and it's important for all aspects of our health, but apparently for cognitive functioning, diet is very critical as well?
Surprisingly enough, yes. And I have to say, I'm delighted to be able to say that, because there is probably nothing more frightening than the concept of losing your memory, losing your mind. And yet, this is something I saw in my grandparents. I saw it in my own father, where year after year, they're losing ground and eventually getting to the point where, although their heart is beating, they have just become severely demented, and year after year they live this way. Well, research studies have shown us what's going on in the brain. We now understand it. We know how foods, bad food choices, contribute to that, and we know the changes that we can make to protect ourselves.
And, you know, along the same lines, when we're talking about food, there are people that are always looking for the quick supplement, the quick vitamin, and even some of these things that may be in the foods that you're describing in your book. You can't just always pop a pill or a supplement. There are other micronutrients or whatever in the foods. It really is more effective to do your primary nutrition through your food, isn't it?
That's really true. And one of the studies that really inspired me was called the Chicago Health and Aging Project. They got started in 1993. Researchers from Rush University went out and they tracked thousands of people. What were they eating? And over the years, it turned out that those who tended to avoid the bad fats, the people who did not eat the way I ate growing up in Fargo, North Dakota, eating bacon and sausage, the people who tended to avoid those things had dramatically reduced risk of Alzheimer's. The people who avoided the trans fats that are in donuts and snack pastries also, they tended to do very well. Vitamin E seemed to be protective, and that's in nuts and seeds. So these clues started us down the path, but we've been able to get much more sophisticated and lay out the steps that are going to prevent this disease. And I don't just mean Alzheimer's, but I also mean even the more subtle memory issues that can occur in our lives a bit earlier than that.
Now, I guess let's jump to right some of these specifics. What are some of the best foods? You mentioned seeds and nuts. You mentioned things with vitamin E. But what are some of the best foods that we should be incorporating into our diet, and how much should we be eating of it?
Okay. To start off with what our plate should look like, and then let me, after that, mention
sure.
some sort of special effect foods. I think of four food groups as laying the basis of the diet. And by choosing these four food groups, you'll be able to avoid those bad fats that I was speaking of. And that's really important. The vegetables, the fruits, the whole grains, the beans that we always knew were good for the heart, they're also really good for the brain. They don't have any of the trans fats at all. They have virtually no saturated fat. What that looks like for breakfast might be, say, my buckwheat pancakes with some blueberries, a big bowl of oatmeal with cinnamon and raisins. For lunch, instead of the meat chili, it might be the bean chili. For dinner, if I have a pasta dish, instead of topping it with a cheese sauce, I top it with artichoke hearts and mushrooms and chunky tomatoes or something like that. If you want a glass of wine, that's okay. If you want the espresso after, that's okay too. So those are the staples, the vegetables, fruits, whole grains, beans. But then there are certain things I would really highlight. Nuts and seeds, so walnuts, pecans, almonds, sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, all of these foods have vitamin E. And if you poured a little bit of this into the palm of your hand, that's about an ounce. That is the amount that really can help protect against Alzheimer's, reducing the risk probably between 25 and maybe as much as 70% in research studies.
Incredible.
Absolutely. Well, vitamin E is a protector. It's an antioxidant. It protects not just the brain, but other parts of the body, too.
You know, I think I've also found, and I did this myself, I'm not heavy, but I was heavier than I wanted. And one of the things I found that as I was eating more nuts, which I love, and particularly a variety of nuts, it kind of it reduced my appetite. And I found that, you know, I was eating less because of that.
Yeah. And by the way to do it is I suggest not taking the nuts and just eating them as a snack food. Rather, take them and add them to other things. So the crushed walnuts on your oatmeal, the slivered almonds on your salad. It's a hearty, satisfying flavor, but that gives you the vitamin E without the risk of overdoing it. Also, let me cheerlead for green leafy vegetables a little bit. The kale, collards, spinach, broccoli, that whole group. They are rich in what's called folate, which is a B vitamin that protects the brain. Folate, by the way, the name comes from foliage, like leaves. Also, there's vitamin B6, is in beans and in bananas. And the folate and B6 together help eliminate a compound called homocysteine that can build up in the body and can damage the brain. And in research studies, when people boost their folate and B6, what we find is that their memory tends to improve. Hearing may even be protected because it's neurological as well. And people have done this with supplements, but I really encourage people to do it with food. And one-third B vitamin that I would add to that list is B12, which probably does best come from a supplement because that's the best absorbed source.
How important is it to eat organically, and which foods would you suggest if you do think it's important we should eat organically?
I think it is important, and the way I sometimes think of it, sometimes people will say, well, you know, does it matter? Is it worth the money? Think of it this way. A person gives you two apples, and they say, this one doesn't have any chemicals sprayed on it, and this one does. Which one do you want? To me, it's sort of a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. If it cost me 17 cents more for the clean one, I'll pay for it. Some foods are dosed with pesticides quite a lot, apples being one. Also, the leafy vegetables as well. You think about foods that are sort of maybe subject to insects and things, as opposed to something that might be buried in the soil and less subject to it, like a potato or a sweet potato. So, yeah, I think it's always worth it to choose organic.
Now, you also mentioned about various toxic metals and the problems with that in the brain, but what about even cooking methods and cookware, such as maybe aluminum or cast iron pans? Are those things that we should be avoiding?
I think so. If an aluminum pan has a coating so that the aluminum is not in touch with the food, then it's okay. But if the aluminum is in direct contact with the food, it will pass. The aluminum passes into the food. Same with cast iron. And these accumulate in the brain. People with Alzheimer's disease, when you examine their brains, you find aluminum, iron, copper, zinc in these little plaques, amyloid plaques, that are destroying the brain cells. So what do? Avoid aluminum completely. There's no reason for people to be cooking with aluminum pans.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy an antacid at the store, some antacids have aluminum added. You will see it on the label. Others do not. Your choice is very, very simple. If you use a deodorant, it does not have aluminum. If you use an antiperspirant, it does have aluminum. It passes through the skin. So power foods for the brain is about food, but I also want you to know these other simple choices that you can make, because it's really easy to stay on a healthier track.
And you know, you do mention in the book not just the power foods, but you deal with the importance of sleep and kind of protocols to follow there, physical exercises, mental exercises, and of course, what I think I liked the most was some tremendous recipes. By the way, where'd you get the recipes?
Well, I work with two just terrific recipe developers. One is Christine Waltermeyer, who's in New Jersey. The other is Jason Weirich, who's in Phoenix. And Christine is a little more straight ahead, recognizable food. Jason has a little more of the spice, southwest spicy thing.
That's my type.
Well, everybody has different tastes. And so I wanted to bring them both in. And if you are a person who just doesn't cook at all, then I'll guide you to what you can get at a restaurant or at fast food places, because you can do this anywhere.
That's Dr. Neil Barnard in conversation with Steve Wiseman. The book is titled Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory, published by Grand Central Life and Style, Hatchett. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined, as we are customarily at this point in the program, by our senior correspondent, Kevin Casey, who's also the vice president and executive editor of the trade publication Talkers Magazine, which serves the talk radio industry. And Kevin, certainly sports talk radio is huge, but you often hear sports talked about on news talk stations, such as the one that we are on right now, especially when the stories involve personalities. And I would say that Tim Tebow being dropped by the New York Jets, and by the way, we are heard in New York City on The Answer. Tim Tebow being dropped by the New York Jets is the kind of story they love in news talk radio because it's a personality. And Tebow is one of those people, and talk radio, as all radio, as all media deals with these kind of people, who are more famous for being famous at this point than they are for
whatever
accomplished on the field,
accomplished on the field
yeah.
or anywhere.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah. Tim Tebow is a kind of guy, a character who has certainly transcended the sport. And again, not because of his accomplishments on the field, he hasn't really been given that much of a chance. But all the things, I was almost going to use the word baggage, but all the things that surround him, his faith, the questions about his ability. He's a big character. He's got a big personality, and that's one of the reasons why he attracts so much attention.
Do you think a guy like that is good for a sport or a distraction or both?
I'm one of those people who thinks he's good for the sport. Mm. I know a lot of people who don't like any of the distractions. They want to eliminate, for example, celebrations in the end zone completely. They think it takes away from the sport. I think it brings color to the sport. I think it brings personality. If it's just nameless, faceless guys under helmets, it might as well be college football.
Well, I think his story has yet to even reach its halfway point. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him.
I know people who agree with you, and obviously we know a bunch of people who'd say, nah, he's done.
We shall see.
Yeah,
indeed.
Shall.
All right, Kevin Casey is the executive editor of Talkers Magazine, vice president and executive editor, and if you're interested in what's going on behind the scenes in talk radio, go to talkers.com. I'm Michael Harrison at Touch of Gray. The talk show for grown-ups continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We're joined by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, the rest of the way on the program. And he'll be in conversation now with a gentleman named Richard Tate. Richard Tate is the founder and CEO of Cliffside Malibu, an addiction treatment center, which is one of only 6% of the treatment facilities in the United States that are JCAHO accredited. That means that they adhere to the highest treatment standards in the industry. He's also the author of a book titled Ending Addiction for Good,
The Groundbreaking Holistic Evidence-Based Way to Transform Your Life, published by Wheatmark.
First of all, let me ask you, Richard, what drove you to start Cliffside Malibu?
Well, I had a problem with my own drug addiction, and when I figured it out and my life got a lot better, I just wanted to play it forward.
Was it a difficult thing to try and I mean, you were really pretty much starting from scratch as far as putting a treatment facility together. Did you have training at that point, or maybe you had personal training?
Yeah, personal training, but really what it was initially I just wanted to have a men's sober living. And I went to all the treatment centers in the area, and I said, look, you guys are letting people go, and they're all relapsing, and why don't you just send them to me, and I'll teach them how to learn to live happy, joyous, and free lives. And, you know, instead of getting them back as clients, you'll get their loved ones and their friends and family, and you know, so that's typically how it starts. Or how it started for me, and it just morphed into a treatment center. I was basically providing treatment without knowing it, and you know, it just morphed into something. And really, I'm glad I never actually went into a proper treatment center, if you will,
mm-hmm.
because if I did, I wouldn't have known. You know, I would have run things the way other treatment centers
the conventional
way. In a cost-effective manner instead of, you know, it just never occurred to me not to give people everything you could humanly possibly give them to recover.
What do you do differently that accounts for your really high success rate in a very difficult operation?
Well, everything is evidence-based. So I think we're the only treatment center in the world that has a full-time addiction researcher. That's number one. The second thing is we use Dr. James Prochaska's stages of change model, which is really the way human beings create change in their life. The way they change bad behaviors and replace them with positive ones. So it's evidence-based. Not everybody comes in and gets the same program. We meet you where you're at in your recovery, and we move you effectively through the stages of change, so that way you can get a strong recovery and not relapse. And that's why we give a guarantee. And you know, I'm sure that there are others now. I hear there are others now. Giving a guarantee. I don't know what the details of that are, but what we do basically is, and we've done it for years now, is if you leave here when we tell you you're ready to leave, typically it could be anywhere from 2 months to 4 months, but if you, whatever it is that you need, okay, and when you leave here, if you relapse at any time within a year, we bring you back for nothing. And the reason we do that is because, you know, we just wanted to stand behind our work. It was nothing deeper than that.
Now, you talk about the stages of change model. What are there certain specific stages, or do they kind of flow? How many are there?
There's five. There's six, actually. We use five of the six. The six being transcendence. We don't have to talk about that because literally less than 1%. Probably half of 1% actually reach transcendence when
mm-hmm.
they are true alcoholics or drug addicts, and I don't want to give false hope.
Yeah.
Okay? So we go through the maintenance stage from the pre-contemplation to the maintenance stage, and it's really just common sense. You know, academics tend to, you know, really make things very difficult to understand.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Dr. Prochaska endorsed our best-selling book, Ending Addiction for Good. It's really his book. Okay, for dummies. It's really changing for good for dummies, okay, so that we can all understand it in simple language. And like he calls pre-contemplation, that sounds pretty heady, but really all it is it's the guy who says, when the wife says, you know, you're drunk, okay,
mm-hmm.
we've got all these problems, and he says, no, you're the problem. You're a nag. The reason I've got problems at work and I'm almost being fired is because my boss is a tyrant and he's a jerk and everybody hates him. And the DUI I got, well, that could have happened to anybody. I've driven 3,000 times drunk. I've only gotten one DUI. That's just math. I mean, how was I supposed to get the car back to the house? And, you know, the health problems that I'm having, I'm 46 years old. I'm getting older. That could happen to anybody. Okay? I mean, all these things, the drinking is the common denominator, and what you're trying to get this guy to understand is you're not trying to cure this guy or help or completely recover this guy in one shot. You're just supposed to get him from...
Recognize it.
You know, from the pre-contemplation stage to, I don't have a problem, to maybe the drugs and the alcohol, you know, are the problem. And mm-hmm. once you get him to that place, okay, and considering that, okay, it's very hard to unring a bell.
Mm-hmm.
Once you decide that, okay, it is the drugs and the alcohol, how do you go back to it isn't the drugs and the alcohol? Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. You know, and it reminds me, there's an old joke, how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is one, but the light bulb has to have a serious desire to change. So how important is
that? That's awesome, by the way. I'm going to use that. I'm going to give you
Please
credit for it for the first three times. And then
yeah, after that, it's fine. But how important is it to get that person to really desire change? Can you do anything if they're resisting?
That's what the stages of change is for. Pre-contemplation is no desire to change, right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
So that old idea of, you know what, the guy's got to be willing, that old idea is killing people. I mean, listen, here's the truth, okay? Everything evolves. Everything. And drug and alcohol treatment, okay, addiction treatment technologies have not really changed, okay, in the public's view. And that's
mm-hmm.
not true. The reality is addiction medicine is changing, and it would be ridiculous to say, well, everything else is changing in the world. Everything else is getting better, but addiction treatment is just staying the same. And that's not true. If you're an addict in 2013, you just don't know any better. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just not necessary anymore. It just isn't.
What about, you know, we've always heard that when, for instance, with alcoholics, that you're a recovering alcoholic, that it is a day-by-day thing. Is that accurate? Is it a difficult task that you have to confront every day, or can you get over this hurdle and, sure, there's always the possibility of relapse, but you're pretty much safe?
Yeah, you know what? That's a semantic argument, and it's just a terminology thing, but the short answer is... this is how I like to explain it, okay? You're talking about the daily struggle. And if you do this thing the right way and you go through the stages of change, there is no struggle.
That's great.
Okay? So what happens is instead of you using all this energy, okay, to push down the possibility of that relapse, when there is no struggle, and you're going through your therapy, you know, it's ongoing, right? I mean, in your aftercare plan. Because the
sure.
whole idea is, you know, the goal is to be the best man, the best father, the best employer, the best human being you can possibly be, right? So that's the idea. So what happens is you go through this process, it's everlasting, and you can focus on the thriving of your life as opposed to just holding on and that struggle being or using up all that energy. I always say, you know, if you're going to struggle, you don't beat the struggle. The struggle
yeah.
always beats you. The struggle always wins. So the goal is to not struggle and free yourself up to focus on moving forward and designing the life that you were always meant to have before you got derailed by the drugs and the alcohol.
You know, I guess, let me ask you again, your book, Ending Addiction for Good, where can people find that?
just go to my website, cliffsidemalibu.com, and click on the book. It'll take you right to the Amazon page. It's $10. All the proceeds go to charity. You know, it's funny. I wanted to give it away, but if you give something away, people don't hold
it
value.
Exactly.
To it. So I just tried to make it as cheap as possible. All the proceeds for 2013 are going to the Claire Foundation, a nonprofit here in Santa Monica, California, and we're very proud of that.
That's Richard Tate in conversation with our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Want more information? Go to endingaddictionforgood.com or cliffsidemalibu.com. Steve will return in just a moment, and we'll have some concluding remarks, and he'll be talking about standards for financial advisors for seniors. That's next on A Touch of Gray. The talk show for grown-ups continues in a moment.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor seat. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we're rejoined by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire. He's an attorney. He's a prolific author. And he is the publisher of the website Scamicide.com. He's written the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. And he's here now to talk about standards for financial advisors for seniors. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, we're having so many older Americans who are concerned with retirement. Is their money going to last? And we're turning towards various kinds of financial planners and advisors. And there are a lot of people out there to help us. Unfortunately, in fact, there may be too many people out there to help us. And some of them really are there more to help themselves than us. There are more than about 20, 30, 40 different special designations for financial advisors for seniors. And yet the standards for what it takes to get one of these designations aren't entirely clear. Recently, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau just did a study about this. And they were looking at how advisors can help seniors, but about these designations, because we've got, as I said, more than 50 different designations. Then the names may sound like, they also may sound like they really are accredited by states when they are not. And this is the problem, because sometimes the standards that it takes to get one of these, an accredited retirement advisor just has to pass a 100-question multiple choice exam and have 3 days of continuing ed every 3 years. Some of them don't even have that. So when it comes to various senior financial advisors, these various specialty titles, they don't tell you much. On the other hand, there are people like lawyers, accountants, insurance professionals, CFPs, certified financial planners, or trust officers that may have more training. Now, advisors with senior designations are supposed to be ruled in by regulations between the Securities Exchange Commission and various state agencies. But at the moment, it's kind of dropped through the just the little bits of corners. So what is being recommended is that both state and federal policymakers set minimum training and education standards for senior advisor designations, along with minimum standards of conduct, and prohibit misleading advertising. It's particularly necessary because some of these are selling people, you and I, various kinds of variable annuities or other products that may not be really appropriate for us, but may be paying them. So what you got to do is don't fall for just a designation that you don't know. Get recommendations. Check the people out. You do this, you can end up with a good advisor who can help you.
Thank you, Steve. Standards for Financial Advisors for Seniors. Read Steve's book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall, and visit his websites, stevelaw.net and scamaside.com. Thank you, Beverly Santinello, our producer on the front line, putting it all together. Thank you for your excellent work as our producer. Thank you, Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program, Steve Wiseman. Thank you very much to Kevin Casey, the entire Touch of Grey broadcast team. Thank you for listening. On behalf of all of us, I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.